Wonderful. Thank you, Danielle. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Joe Dorian, Director of Workforce Development, serving as staff support for the State Workforce Innovation Board. Thank you for joining a duly noticed meeting of the State Workforce Innovation Board. Before we begin, just a couple of things. As you just heard, this call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect from the call at any time. If board members would like to speak, you can virtually raise your hand by pressing 5-star on your dial pad. You will then be called upon in the order that your hand was raised. Board members, please take a moment to enter your speaker code if you've not already done so. Please remember to mute your phones until speaking. Board members were provided with the speaker code. If you are having difficulty with the speaker code, again, please press 5-star now. Good afternoon and welcome to a duly noticed meeting for the State Workforce Innovation Board. The State Workforce Innovation Board, or SWIB, is appointed by the governor and is tasked with administering Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act funds, or WIOA funds, across the state of New Hampshire and overseeing the governor's state workforce development initiatives. The SWIB is comprised of business owners, union representatives, state legislators, statewide agency heads, local elected officials, and representatives from other workforce partners at the state level. Today's meeting is an official meeting of the board, is open to the public, and will be run in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. We have someone on the phone taking minutes, which will be posted to the New Hampshire Works website. Meeting materials for the board and the public can be found by visiting the New Hampshire Works webpage, which is nhworks.org. Again, that's www.nhworks.org. Again, today's meeting is being recorded. I will help facilitate today's meeting. Because the board is meeting by phone, under RSA 91A, there are a few initial logistics that we need before I turn it over to our chair, Mr. Michael Kane. First, each of us must state our names, where we are located, and who is with us. As we move through our agenda today, each board member and anyone else speaking is asked to identify themselves before speaking. Should you choose to take any votes today, they must be done by roll call. As an example for the roll call attendance, I will help start. I am Joe Dorian, Director of Workforce Development in the Department of Business and Economic Affairs Office at 100 North Main Street in Concord. I am in a large conference room, appropriately socially distanced, and joining me are
Laura LeCain, the WIOA Fiscal Administrator,
and
Jimmy Henson, Workforce Development Administrator and Rapid Response Coordinator.
Thank you. Now we will proceed with alphabetical roll call of the board. So please take a moment to unmute your line as I will go alphabetically through the members of the board for attendance. We understand that a few folks are still getting situated, and I will go through the roll twice. Mike Alberts. Beth Doran. I have not heard Mike or Beth. You might be muted. I will proceed with the roll. Eric Batchelor.
Present.
I'm sorry, was that Eric?
I am present. I'm Eric Batchelor. I represent IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I am at 48 Airport Road. I am in my office all by myself.
Thank you, sir. And I apologize for mispronunciation of names. Please correct me. Mark Bedouin? Mark, were you able to join us? Okay. Christine Brennan? Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
This is Will Arvello, Director of the Division of Economic Development under Business and Economic Affairs. I am home in Newfields alone.
Thank you, Will. David Chaffee.
Present. I'm a member at large, retired business owner, and I am at my home in Aetna, New Hampshire, looking out at snow.
Thank you. Kelly Clark.
This is Kelly Clark. I represent AARP, and I am located in Webster, New Hampshire, at home, and I am alone.
Thank you. Commissioner George Capatas.
President, Minister of Employment Security, I'm at my office, 45 South Fruit Street in Concord. I'm in my office alone.
Thank you, Commissioner. Dwight Davis. Okay.
Joe, can you hear me, Joe? This is Beth Doran.
Oh, hi, Beth. Hi. I'll go through the role again for folks who I've missed. But
sounds
Beth,
good.
since we're chatting, could you just speak? Tell us where you are located and if anyone else is near you.
Yes, this is Beth Doran. I am located in Derry, New Hampshire. I'm with the Community College System of New Hampshire. I am here alone with my dog.
Perfect. Thank you. Julie Demers.
I'm present. It's Julie Demers. I'm the Executive Director of the New Hampshire Tech Alliance, and I am also at home in Auburn with my dogs. Other than that, I am alone.
Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Okay. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
I'm John Hennessy, Littleton Coin Company. I'm located in my home in Littleton, New Hampshire.
Thank you.
And I have three family members around, no one else.
Great, thank you. Senator Jay Kahn.
Present in Keene. My wife is elsewhere in the house.
Thank you, Senator. Chairman Michael Kane.
Hi, it's Michael Kane. I'm here in my office all alone with CNN on the TV.
Perfect. Thank you. And forgive me, I'm going to mispronounce his name. Tamer, can you help me with the last name, please?
Sure. It's Tamer Cahill.
Thank you. And could you tell us where you are? Thank you.
Sure. Director of New Hampshire Job Corps. I'm located in 943 Dumbarton Road in Manchester. I'm currently in my office, social distance and at home.
Thank you. Mayor Charlene Lovett. Mayor Lovett, were you able to connect?
She is on the line. Her line is unmuted on my end, so I'm not sure if she's muted on her end, maybe.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm present. I am in my daughter's apartment in Manchester, New Hampshire, and she is in the apartment with me.
Great. Thank you. Robert Martell. Okay. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue.
This is Eric Prue from the Tanger Outlet Center in Tilton, and I am in my office alone.
Thank you. James Prue. Tim Sink.
This is Tim Sink, representing the Greater Concord Chamber of Commerce. I'm in my office in Concord alone.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
This is Mike Summers with the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Association. I am in my Concord office, and I am alone.
Thank you. Gary Thomas.
Yes, Gary Thomas, president of North Point Construction Management, here in my office in Hudson, New Hampshire.
Thank you. Michael Turmel.
Present, this is Michael Turmel. I'm calling in from my home office in Concord, New Hampshire, representing the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation.
Thank you. Brandon Wagner. I'm sorry, was that Brandon? Okay, I don't believe we have Brandon, but I will go through the roll one more time of folks who are missing. Did Mike Alberts, were you able to join us?
Mike Alberts in Lisbon, New Hampshire. In my office alone.
Thank you. Mark Bedouin. Christine Brennan.
Christine, can you hear me? Christine Brennan, Department of Education. I'm home in my home office in Ossipee. And unfortunately, I have a prior commitment, and I will be hopping off later on in the meeting.
Well, thank you. Anya Brzezinski. Dwight Davis.
Can you hear me? Dwight Davis, here in my office. Here in my office in Stratham, New Hampshire, owner of Senior Helpers.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. James Prue. Brandon Wagner. Mr. Kane, with the roll call completed, we have a quorum, and we are ready to continue.
Great. Thank you, Joe, and thank you to the members of the board who are joining us here today. As this is the first board meeting since last February, we have a number of items to work through. This is a new board, and this meeting will provide the board to address the items on the agenda and lay the foundation for future meetings. You will find these items on the agenda with their accompanying supportive documents. The agenda and these documents have been provided to the board and are available to the public. We start our agenda here today with some informational items. These are reports and updates provided to the board. These do not require a vote. However, if board members would like to make motions, I would ask that you please wait until the next section of our agenda. Joe, could you please guide us through these items?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Referring folks on the call, board members and the public, to agenda item 2A that you'll find on the agenda. Again, these documents can be found publicly on the New Hampshire Works site. And if you click on the links on the agenda, they should automatically direct you to the section that we are referring to, again, Section 2A, where we have provided an introduction of the Office of Workforce Opportunity Staff. We've had a number of changes in the office, including myself replacing Jacqueline Huser after a number of years as director of the office. We appreciate her many years of service to the program and the state. We also have joining us Jimmy Hinson, Workforce Development Administrator, and Lisa Gerard as WIOA Program Administrator. So we wanted to take a moment to introduce some folks and also reintroduce some folks. You, as board members, will, I'm sure, remember Laura McCain. She got married this past September, and we are happy that she's part of the team. And we have Bonnie St. Jean, who some of you may remember was an administrator in the office for a number of years, and we were able to convince her to come out of retirement to help us out with some projects. So we have a great team here. And we've provided some biographical information, but also some pictures, as we are having to meet telephonically and not in person, so that you can put a face with the email and a face with the voice. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to entertain any questions if there are any.
Okay, so no questions. Staff, go ahead, Joe.
And if anybody, I should mention, has a question or would like to raise their hand, it's five star for board members.
Great. Shall we keep moving?
Very good. So that was agenda item 2A. Moving on, I haven't heard from Danielle about any questions, so I'll move on to agenda item 2B, Mr. Chairman, where we have a financial update. And again, this is agenda item 2B, where we're providing an updated financial report for folks. Again, we haven't had a meeting in a year, so certainly a lot has happened. So we wanted to provide a comprehensive document. As I mentioned, I'm joined here with Laura McCain, who is much smarter than me in a whole lot of different ways and will help answer any questions if that's okay, Mr. Chairman. If folks have any questions, they can hit five star and we'd be happy to entertain those.
That's great.
I see no questions right now.
Mr. Chairman, seeing no questions, is it okay for us to proceed to item 2C?
I think it'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. And we can, of course, we're, of course, available for board members if they want to chat offline at any point as well. So we want to make sure that these are provided publicly. Item 2C is a rapid response update that Jimmy Hinson has put together. And Jimmy, do you mind just framing a little bit of what we've been doing? And maybe that would be helpful for the board as things changed a little bit. Do you mind sharing a few words?
Oh, not at all. Jimmy Hinson, the Workforce Development Administrator here at the Office of Workforce Opportunities. The last year has been very interesting, to say the least, as it relates to rapid response. Our normal year runs from July 1st and goes through the, I want to say, the end of June. We were pretty much on track starting July 1 of 2019 to April 30th. We only were looking at about 29 total rapid responses. Now, for us, a rapid response is triggered whenever there's a substantial layoff of 25 people or more, in which we had the 29 rapid response activities in which 1,365 people were being served. These were people who were offered direct in-person rapid response services. Fast forward to March, and the numbers kind of skyrocketed on us. We literally went from 0 to 88, starting from March 1st to June 30th. 88 rapid response activities came off, in which 2,622 workers were impacted. Ending the year was our highest year total ever, with 117 rapid response activities that impacted over close to 4,000 people. Now, if you've been paying attention to the news like a lot of you have, you know that the numbers, the unemployment numbers, were way higher than that. And that's where I want to just remind you that these are substantial layoffs that we work on that are 25 or over. As we started to try our best to respond to the need, and also being limited in our ability to actually meet in person due to COVID-19, we started first with email and phone presentations, in some cases having to do them individually or in groups. And I'm happy to say we were able to progress to where we started offering these services via Zoom, which had been well received. We had to make the decision to stop all in-person rapid response sessions, but that hasn't hurt our ability to get the information into the right hands. Moving forward to this year, as we started on July 1st to present, I'm happy to say we're back into what I would say a normal range of rapid response requests. As of today, we've only received 18 rapid response activity requests, of which only 469 workers have been impacted. In the discussions that we've had at the Office of Workforce Opportunities, we understand that, well, we came to understand that a larger number of under 25, your small businesses, were actually laying off a large number, which we haven't been, it wouldn't trigger a rapid response. So when a business lays off or shuts down and they only have 6 to 10 employees, that doesn't trigger a rapid response. But we were concerned about how we could actually provide services to those individuals, especially to those that are going to need work. We've been doing our best to think outside the box. We have started reaching out to any business that is laying off or closing and offering at least individual services to guide them to the services that are being provided by our NHWorks partners. In closing, the last thing I'd like to let you know is we ended up creating, and it was a team effort to create a rapid response standard operating procedure so that we would have all of our bases covered and in one package be able to contact any of the agency point of contacts that offer the rapid response services. We're in the process of working on a pre-recorded video and updating our website so that at any time any of our agency partners or community members come across somebody who has lost their job or a business that is closed, they can receive the full presentation that we would normally do in person. And I'll leave it at that.
And Mr. Chairman, could we open it up, open the floor for questions?
We certainly could.
And if the board members would like to speak, you can virtually raise your hand by pressing 5-star on your dial pad. Danielle, by chance, has anyone raised their hand?
Give me one moment. It looks like Jay Kahn has his hand raised. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Sorry, I'm backing up one item. So if somebody has something on rapid response, I'd be glad to wait and come back to the budget presentation.
Danielle, has anybody else by chance raised their hand?
David Coffey has. David, go ahead.
Yeah, I was curious to see if there is an area that the rapid response team spent more time in than other places.
It looked like most of the rapid responses we got actually came from the Hillsborough County area, which really got me kind of concerned because, well, first of all, there's a large number of businesses in the Hillsborough, Rockingham County area, so that wasn't too much of a surprise. But when we started to see the unemployment numbers go up, the way they were and the work that our partners at New Hampshire Employment Securities was doing the yeoman's work to respond to those requests, we realized that a lot of the closures and layoffs were coming from the smaller businesses. So from the rapid response standpoint, Hillsborough County was our biggest draw, but unfortunately I would say that it probably came pretty evenly distributed around, especially those impacting the hospitality or travel and tourism type industries.
All
that answer your question, sir?
It answers my question. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I don't see any other questions. So, Jay, if you want to go ahead, go ahead.
Sure. I'm just looking at our program year and our fiscal year for that ended September 30th, 2020. And sorry, I'm reading along through the presentation. This is well organized. Thank you. There's a lot of unexpended from the year ending September 30, 2020. So I just want to inquire. I've been on the board a long time. And give us an idea of why so much is unexpended, and then if there are any special arrangements carrying that forward into the next.
Good afternoon, Senator. This is Joe Dorian. Just so folks, because it's a big packet, could you cite the page just so members of the board and the public could follow along?
Can't. It's cut off on the right side. So there's a page number on the right side. I'm not getting it, whether I expand or contract. 54 is it's the last page in item B.
Ah, yep. So that would be page 19 of 2B. That's page 19 in the packet. And this is in Section 2B, Financial Update. And I'm going to hand this over to Laura LeCain.
Sure. This is Laura LeCain, the LEOA Fiscal Administrator. Senator, just to be clear, is the title of the page you're looking at PY20 LEOA Summary as of September
30, 2020? Yes. Correct.
All right. Thank you. So looking at the remaining balance, these were funds that were received starting July 1st. So this is reflecting just one quarter of expenditures, not including obligations. You can see we've expended $134,000 of that in the first quarter as we were still spending some of the prior year funds. These grants are three-year rolling grants. So, for example, the funds that expire this coming June 30, 2021 are PY18, so we do spend those down first. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does, and that's helpful. As I go back, I see the 2 years ago balance. It looks like we've got about $7 million left for programmatic expenses over the next 3 years. Any updates on federal continuation of funding? We're holding at the $6 million figure without change?
We don't know at this point what we'll be expecting to get for program year 2021. We hope to know come April from the Department of Labor. But they have not issued official allocations yet. So unfortunately, I don't have an answer to that question at this board meeting.
And then I noticed that sometimes we put our eye on the discretionary funds that are available. I'd ask if there are designations for those discretionary dollars at this point.
So for some of the discretionary funding, there is. We've been using those funds, as you know, currently for the Recovery Friendly Workplace Initiative that did just end for us recently. We're still in the process of working with the Sector Partnership Initiative And some of those funds also go towards monitoring and technical assistance for our subrecipients.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you, Senator.
Charlene had a question. Charlene, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My question pertains to Jimmy's report on the rapid response update. And if I understand correctly, I believe that he had mentioned when realizing that a number of small businesses were laying off employees and that did not trigger a rapid response. You mentioned that the full presentation of what people could do who were being laid off was available online. And my question is, how was that information communicated at the community level?
I'm sorry if I misspoke on that. We are in the process of creating that. We wanted to get a pre-recorded rapid response session that was also accessible for people with and without disabilities to ensure that it reached a big audience. Once that information is updated on the website, though, we will be working with our chambers of commerce. We will be working with our business and industry through our sector partnerships, as well as we have emails for every city and town administrator or economic development worker, and that information will be sent out very far and wide, probably every month, probably for the first 3 months, just to make sure that people are comfortable knowing that they can call us at any time.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
There are no other questions at this time.
Mr. Chairman, can we proceed to item 2D?
Yes, please.
This item, we have, and again, we're very happy that Bonnie St. Jean is helping us out here in the office. She brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to the team, and she is going to help answer questions on the program performance update in item 2D, if there are questions from the board. And again, that's 5-star to raise your hand. And again, thank you for the board members and the public bearing with us today. The system works, I think, well, but it can be a little slow at times and a little clunky. So if you're finding a delay in raising your hand, it just takes a moment for the system to populate. So again, that's 5-star to raise your hand.
Bonnie, go ahead.
Bonnie, I don't think you're unmuted on your end.
Thank you. My apologies. So, board members, in terms of performance measures, both the federal WIOA statutes as well as the one-stop certification process requires the sharing of performance measures for all four of the funding sources. If you're sort of following along, because there's a number of pages pertaining to performance, on page 23 is the summary for PY19 for three of the performance measures: adult, dislocated worker, youth, regularizer, vocational rehabilitation. Also required or expected is adult education, but at this point they are not computerized. We do not have their performance data for PY19. The great news is all of our federal funding sources under WIOA met or exceeded the performance measures, and they are hinged upon four different criteria: whether or not a person is employed second quarter after exit, their median earnings, whether they're employed fourth quarter after exit, and their credential rate. the Federal Performance Standards are set by U.S. Department of Labor as part of an negotiated process for both us and Wagner-Peisen. And U.S. Department of Education is involved in the negotiation in the discussion for vocational rehabilitation. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, we're happy to take any questions with from the board and folks who would like to ask a question, and that would be 5-star.
I have no questions, but maybe the board does.
I see no questions at this time.
Mr. Chairman, could we proceed to item 2E?
Please.
Very good. If I can direct the public and the members of the board, we have a tendency to talk a lot about numbers and percentages, which are very important metrics when we talk about success and accountability. But I think it's really important to factor in the human element, so we wanted to provide members of the board and the public some success stories, incorporating the different WIOA programs and the great relationships we have with our partner agencies. So there's a lot of really great work being done out in the community with these programs, helping real people. Some really good stories in there. And I'm happy to answer any questions or try to answer any questions, but we want to try to make a habit of each time we meet as a board to provide you those human stories and to be able to see the good work that's being done with these funds. So happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, from you or the board on these, I think, really, really great stories.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. And 5-star from members of the board if you have any questions. Okay. Danielle, by chance, has anyone raised their hand? Danielle? I don't know if by chance you're muted. Okay. Yep. All right. So, Mr. Chairman, it does not appear we have any questions on item 2E.
Hi. Sorry, I apologize. I was on a different phone call at the moment. Gary Thomas had something to say. Gary, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment regarding some of the programs when you talked about success stories, because I'm actually also a board member for ABC, and I just wanted to comment, and I know it's not really part of this discussion tonight, but the SPI program that you guys have helped fund, push some funds toward ABC, has done some great things. We've done a lot of great videos for iBuild New Hampshire, and we've had some great success with that. And we're trying to, you know, get into a program with some of the community colleges as well for creating craft worker programs. So we're excited, and hopefully that the SPI program can continue to help the ABC for Associated Builders and Contractors.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Danielle, by chance, do we have other hands raised?
No other questions.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, can we move on to 2F?
Yes, please.
Perfect. And then, board members and the public, item 2F that is in your packet just is a program monitoring report. And I believe Kelly Clark, a board member, is on the phone as well with questions and for the PY19 report. Kelly, are you with us?
I am, Joe. I'm right here.
Wonderful. And would you be able to field any questions about item 2F?
Sure. Between Bonnie and I, I'm sure we can cover
Perfect.
It.
Wonderful. And Mr. Chairman, if you or members of the board have questions, we're happy to field them. 5-star to raise your hand virtually.
John Hennessy, go ahead.
I just had a question on the last bullet of page 35 relative to under enrollment, particularly in the adult program. First of all, kudos for the quality measures and exceeding the goals there. I'm just not as familiar with the quantity. Are there measures that we've agreed to meet, and how does this bullet relate to whether we're meeting that requirement or not and our ability to meet it going forward?
You want me to start on that, Joe?
Could you please?
Sure. So there are targets for enrollments, and as I understand it, our enrollments, based on what we had set for targets, we were under, and for the reasons for that, I'm going to turn it to Bonnie, and she can maybe, because she had direct contact with the program directors, and she can maybe touch upon the modification plan going forward. Bonnie?
Thank you, Kelly. There are targets that are committed, and as you may recall, in program year 19, we had a relatively low unemployment rate for the first three quarters of the year. And so, therefore, to be eligible for adult programming, you needed to be economically disadvantaged. Our contractor was Southern New Hampshire Services, who has lost relationships with TANF and food stamp recipients in an effort to try to meet their enrollment goals, but they were under-enrolled, and therefore by being under-enrolled, under-expended. We continued to monitor it. We acknowledged that it was a challenge and believe that it will be turned around because of what has occurred in the state during PY20. Probably the other thing that I should probably report is those are internal state goals. As perhaps referenced earlier, we have 3 years to spend the money. So therefore, it's an internal goal. It is not a federal requirement. The federal requirement is the money needs to be expended within a three-year time period, and they look at cost per participant.
Okay, thank you very much. No further questions.
Nothing further.
Great, Danielle. I'm sorry, Danielle, this is Joe Dorian. And any further questions from the board on item 2F?
I don't see anything.
Right. Mr. Chairman, can we move on to agenda item 2G?
Yes, please.
Perfect. And item 2G is WIOA Youth RFP Review Committee. If I could invite Dave Chaffee and Kelly Clark to lead us through this item?
This is Dave Chaffee. Can you hear me?
We can.
You can hear me? Okay. What I will do is describe the programs that we were looking over to pick the people who could run the programs. And then my tag team partner, Kelly, will let you know where we're hopefully going to be spending money and why we chose those areas to spend the money. And the first program was the in-school youth. These are kids that are in school, probably not doing too well, and are going to need some crutches to help them get their diploma. And the age group for this these in-school youth is usually 14 to 21. Obviously, we're targeting low-income areas and families. What we try to do is to minimize the dropout rate. If the teachers tell us that, you know, the kids aren't doing well, we're going to hop in and provide the services to help them, whether they need help with math or English or whatever it is. They'll get tutored to help them graduate. And then likewise, if it looks like they're going to be graduating, they'll get help with post-secondary planning. In other words, you know, helping them apply to colleges, picking colleges that would look most appropriate for them. One of the big things that we find in particular areas like Nashua is Manchester, is some of these people need a lot of help to overcome language and cultural barriers. And we have the people on board, apparently, who can do that. And then the other, a lot of the kids have disabilities, and we do what we can for them. That's the in-school youth. And the out-of-school youth, generally ages 16 to 24, these are kids not enrolled in school, or it may be that some of them have already graduated, but they have dead-end jobs, and they'd like to get on a ladder where they can, you know, better their life and their income. And they really, then there are some that are striving to get a diploma. They'd like to get that high school diploma, so the services that are being offered to them will help them do that. And then some of these people, you know, they're single parents. They may have kids at home, and it's pretty hard for them to go to school day in and day out. And then there are those who have a criminal record. Unfortunately, sometimes if you have a criminal record, you get a lot of doors slammed in your face. And so these programs try to help those people. And then there are those with disabilities, again, just like above, and the language and cultural barriers. And finally, you know, there are a lot of homeless people out there, we're finding out, and they need help. You know, they need to be able to acquire the skills to get a job so they can support themselves and put a roof over their heads. That's about all I've got. And as I said, Kelly will tell why and where we chose programs to support over the next 3 years.
Thanks, Dave. This is Kelly Clark. So we went, as we reviewed some, I think there were 10 proposals, which in some cases a proposal represented multiple sites. And in the process, two of the overarching goals were to look for geographic reach and ensuring where we could statewide coverage. And secondly, and importantly, alignment with the sector initiatives, especially an eye to healthcare, given the recent implications of the pandemic. So for, and I'm not, I will not, we had basically of the 10 proposals, two providers, so New Hampshire JAG and MyTurn were the two providers that submitted, you know, multiple proposals. For the in-school youth, there's approximately $408,000 available per program year, and these proposals were for 3 years, so $408,000 for each program year. That is assuming we continue to get the federal funding. And our recommendation based on scoring and review, which there's, and I want to pause just for a minute because Joe and team will be doing some additional follow-up with the providers, so we're not actually presenting to you today a recommendation. That will be forthcoming, and Joe will outline the process for that approval by the board. So this is background information in preparation for that. So in-school youth, $408,000 per program year. We're recommending funding. We had four proposals, and there were sufficient funding to cover three of the four proposals. So Manchester, Memorial, Nashua, and Franklin are the three that we're recommending for funding. The one that was not funded was a proposal for Manchester Central. For out-of-school youth, and in this area, we have approximately $1.2 million per program year. Our recommendation is to fund, and these were, the funding was then broken down into geographic regions to ensure better geographic coverage. So for the North Country, we're recommending funding for Berlin and Laconia Lakes region. The site that was not funded was Littleton. For West Central, we are recommending funding for Concord and Keene, and also funding for Franklin. The site not funded was Peterborough, and unfortunately, in error, Peterborough was submitted in the incorrect region. It should have been submitted under Hillsborough. So it was a technical deficiency. And then in Hillsborough, we had two proposals, Nashua and Manchester, that well exceeded the funding. However, this is where Joe and the team will go back and negotiate, and hopefully we'll be able to get some funding for both of those sites just at a reduced level. And then in the Seacoast, we had one proposal for Rochester, and that was funded. So that's a really quick high-level summary, and like I said, there'll be more information forthcoming, and I'll turn it back to Joe.
Thank you, Kelly and Dave, and thank you so much. Those we got a number of really good submissions, but they were big packets. So a lot of, I know for me, late night reading on those. So thank you, Dave and Kelly, for volunteering, for being part of the review committee. A lot of work went into scoring and giving good due diligence to each of those very well thought out proposals. For the next step with this process, is staff and OWO will begin the negotiation process with these different vendors to iron out some questions and details that just we need to work out. It kind of follows just the state process. And once we have worked that out with hopefully our partners, we will provide the board, and what I'll do is something similar to what Jackie Huser has done in the past, which is send out an email with the documents for the board to approve, and I'll send that, when we get to that stage, I'll send that out to each board member, in which case we will take a vote on the board. I will BCC everybody because we cannot debate and discuss via email due to rules and laws governing to open meeting and RSC 91A. So this will be to approve the recommendations of the review committee, which is members of the board and myself, Kelly and Dave and myself. So we're kind of following the process done in the past. We are happy to, I'm happy to hop on a call at any time with board members. I'm sure Kelly and Dave are happy to as well if you have questions. But when we iron out the contracting process, we just want to move forward very quickly to ensure that there's no interruption in service delivery, which kind of goes into the overall larger WEOA youth conversation, which we will, the board will be discussing in item 3C in just a little bit. So we're going to follow the process previously done. I think it's worked, and that will ensure that the information gets to you timely, and we can get back to our to these potential vendors very quickly as well. Are there any questions from the board? And again, 5-star to raise your hand virtually.
David Chaffee. Go ahead.
There was one other thing that I wanted to point out, and you had mentioned it earlier in your presentation. Be sure to read the success stories on pages 27 to 30. It really will throw a light on what these programs accomplish. And in the past, we've had some of these kids actually come in front of us, and hopefully that will happen in the future. So you can see the money is well spent. That's all I had.
Thank you, Dave.
Will Arvello, go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of questions, David and Kelly. One is there a range of students that these programs want to serve? And the second question is, given the issues with access to technology in some of the underserved communities around the state, you know, computers and that sort of thing for certain students, did any of the RFPs address that?
I didn't get the first question.
The first question had to do with, is there a number of students that you're looking to serve in this program? So if you, whatever RFP, whatever grant you award, are you looking to serve, you know, 10, 20, 30 students? What's the cap on that?
It depends on which program, but each of those, JAG and the other, would stipulate the participants in the programs that they would be offering. So they are the ones that tell us how many students would be getting trained. With regards to computers and so on, not specifically, but there is money in there for follow-up services and that sort of thing, so they could use some of that money for that, I would presume. Kelly, have you got anything?
Yeah, sure. Just to follow up on that, within each proposal, they're required to state the number of students they will serve. So the numbers range for, like, in school, I think it was around 22, 23 students per year, up to 30. One proposal was 30. And then the out of school, again, it's a pretty broad range from like 15, 25, 26. So in that range per proposal. And as when we did the review, we look at things like the cost per student, the staffing ratio, along with the target number, which would become what their goal would be for enrollment. And then to Dave's point on technology, I think we might have had one proposal that really hyper-focused on technology, but not from the standpoint of availability of, say, laptops and that sort of thing.
And Kelly and Dave, this is Joe Dorian. Just forgive me for jumping in, but Will, in addition, prior funding to these recipients has provided computers for their offices, as well as loaner computers that they've utilized during the pandemic to accommodate the challenges that have come with COVID. Just want to follow, Will, did we address your questions?
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you. Danielle,
have other questions?
No other, okay. Mr. Chairman, can we move on to the next item on our agenda?
That would be great, thanks.
And Mr. Chairman, Danielle let me know that Mark, and forgive me, Mark, I'm going to say your last name incorrectly. Is it Bedouin?
Yeah, it's Bodwin.
Bodwin. I'm sorry, sir.
No worries.
And Mark, do you mind just stating where you're located, and is anybody near you?
I am located in my office at 109 North State Street here in Concord, and there is nobody in the office there with me. There are people in their own offices across the hall, though.
Perfect. Thank you. Just for attendance, just as a housekeeping measure, we have to ask that. So just noting that Mark has joined us, and again, we still have a more than enough on quorum. Mr. Chairman, we have a guest joining us here. It was item 1B, but JL was having difficulty hopping on this afternoon. JL Delva is our federal project officer from the U.S. Department of Labor, and she just wanted to hop on for a moment or two to say a few quick words of welcome. Is it okay if we hop back to item 1B because she was able to join us?
That'd be great.
Perfect, JL. Were we able to get the phone working?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Joe, and members of the board. I do apologize for not being here during the roll call, but I'm here now. Thank you for inviting me to your meeting today. As the federal project officer for the state of New Hampshire, I am looking forward to working with Joe and team to, you know, enhance and improve and create some effective programs for American workers. So, you know, our focus is really creating customer workforce solutions for American workers, supporting businesses and job seekers alike. So this is going to be an exciting time working with Joe, who has really jumped in and rolled his sleeves up, and he's looking for ways to be effective, efficient, responsive, and approachable. So thank you for having me today, and I do hope to actually attend a board meeting in person at some point later in the future, but this will work for now. So thank you, Joe, and thank you, board members.
Mr. Chairman, do you or members of the board have a question for JL?
I do not, but thank you for joining us.
And if board members, again, 5-star, to virtually raise your hand. Well, JL, thank you so much for your kind words and for joining us today. I know you have a very busy schedule, and we'd love for you to continue listening to all the great things that are happening. We have a great board and a lot of really great things happening here in the state of New Hampshire. So thanks for taking the time to hop on and join us today.
Thank you, Joe, and I will stay on board. There was one person who mentioned the success stories, and I do concur 100% that the success stories, you know, it really brings you back to why we're all here. We all have a shared mission, and I really appreciate that you guys took time to highlight the hard work that your staff have done and that, you know, our American workers have done to really improve their living. So thank you for that, and I do concur the success stories were awesome.
Thank you, JL. And Danielle, are there any hands raised?
Not at this moment.
Great. Mr. Chairman, can we move on to the next section of our agenda, item 3, starting with item 3A?
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the board and members of the public, we're on item 3A, and again, just as a housekeeping matter. This is a duly noticed meeting of the State Workforce Innovation Board. This meeting is being recorded and being conducted in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. We are on item 3A, the demand occupation list. We have, through all of these items, provided a background statement for the board, a staff recommendation, requested action, and a draft motion to help, since we are meeting telephonically and communication can be a little clunky. I mean, we're doing the best we can during the public health emergency. So we just tried to make it as easy as possible for board members, providing some sample language, which do not have to be used, but again, they're just drafts. We have a draft motion in the recommendation and action below. So I'm happy to try to field any questions on this. If so, five star, please.
Jay Khan, go ahead.
Senator Khan, are you still with us?
I'm sorry, I had it unmuted. You good now?
Yes, sir.
To expedite this matter, I'd like to move approval of this item and then to ask a few questions about it.
Hey, Joe, this is Kelly Clark. I'll second the motion.
Mr. Chairman, we have a motion from Senator Khan and a second from Kelly Clark. May we go into discussion?
Yes.
Very good. And I believe, Senator Khan, you had a question.
Thank you. So the highlighted areas in the table, is that just to provide a break between one industry and another on the SOC codes? It's just
yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the data update, I noticed that we've got 18 estimated employment. We are a little ways down the road from there. Any plans that you're aware of to update this information? It does seem, you know my interest in this, that having current information so that we can try to create that flow of people who need employment through the appropriate training and into the workforce is crucial now, more crucial than it was in 2018, and it just the information seems a little dated, probably the best that you have available, which is why I moved the motion. But anyway, if you could help us understand when we might get this. The other thing is if this could be sent in a separate item that might be helpful. I'm having trouble reading it on the screen because it's cutting off to the right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I want to make by chance, is Pam Shazik from Employment Security, are you on by chance? Or Bonnie St. Jean, are you still on the call?
Hi, this is Bonnie St. Jean. The patient unit within the New Hampshire Employment Security Economic Labor Market Studies produces the reports for us, and this report was generated back in June 12th of 2020. They do provide ongoing updated reports, and if you're all in agreement, we can forward to you at that time when we have the latest updated demand occupation list or what their projections are for various industry sectors.
Yes.
Senator, did that address your question?
We'll look forward to whatever updates there can be for this. Absolutely. The other part to it was if it could be sent under a separate item so that what is cut off, at least for me, cut off on the side might be available.
We'll do, Senator. Thank you for the feedback. And for board members, We're trying to adjust to the different state of affairs as brought on by the public health emergency. So we'd appreciate your feedback to today and thereafter of how we can improve conveying the information to you all. So we really do appreciate that. So what we'll do in the future is we'll provide the breakdown like we did in the item, but we'll also provide the full Excel spreadsheet so that you can compare.
Joe and Mr. Chairman, Joe, it's George Kapanis. I'll check with Brian as well, Brian Gottlob, the Economic Labor Market Director here, and just see when the next update would be, and I'll get that information to Joe.
Thank you, Commissioner. Danielle, do we have any other hands raised?
I do not see any more hands raised.
Mr. Chairman, may I proceed with a roll call vote?
That'd be great. Thanks.
With the motion made and duly seconded, I now have to call the roll. If you could please unmute your line. I will proceed through the whole list. I know there are a number of members who are, there are a few members who are not in attendance. I still have to call the roll, so please bear with me as we go through this. So we're going to go alphabetically, and this is voting on item 3A with the recommendation as proposed. Mike Albert.
Yay, in favor.
Beth Doran.
Yes.
Eric Batchelor.
Eric Batchelor, in favor.
Mark. And forgive me, Mark. Mark, can you go through your last name? I'm sorry.
Mark Baldwin, I'm assuming. And so, yes, in favor.
Thank you, sir. Sorry. Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
Yes.
Thank you. David Chaffee.
I approve.
Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Commissioner George Kapatis.
Approve.
Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
Approved.
Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Approved.
Senator Jay Kahn.
Yes.
Chairman Michael Kane.
Approved.
Tamer Cole.
Approved.
Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approved.
Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue.
Approved. In favor.
Thank you.
James Prue. Tim Sink.
Yes.
Mike Summers.
Yes.
Gary Thomas. Michael Trammell.
Yes.
Brandon Wagner. Mr. Chairman, with the roll called, we have an approved motion.
And
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The roll has been called and the motion's approved.
Great.
May we move on to agenda item 3B?
That'd be terrific.
Very good. We have the background, again, as provided, an OWO staff recommendation, a requested action to vote on an increase in the ITA cap from its current amount from $5,500 to $6,500, and a draft motion below that. And we're happy to try and address any questions that the board may have. This may be a familiar discussion point, as this was brought up, I believe, in a previous board meeting. So, again, we are a little bit behind since we haven't met in over a year. So I'm happy to take any questions from you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and, again, that's 5-star to raise your hand.
Beth Dorian, did you have a question?
No, I did not. That was just to vote on the last question, last motion.
Perfect. I have no other questions at this time.
Mr. Chairman, it appears there are no questions. I'm not sure if there's a motion or how best to proceed.
I'm sorry, say that again, Joe.
There appears to be no questions from members of the board.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there's a motion or how to proceed.
Well, we made a motion and we all voted on it, right? So I think the motion sounds like it's approved. Is that correct?
This is Dave Chaffee. I move we approve the motion.
This is Will. Second.
And I'm sorry, for record keeping, who seconded the motion?
Will Arvello.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, we have the motion that it has been provided by staff, which is increase the individual training account funding limit for New Hampshire WIOA Title I training from $5,500 to $6,500, which was motioned by Dave Chaffee and seconded by Will Arvello. May we go into discussion, or would you like to go into a vote?
Sorry, it sounds like we should just go to a vote.
Very good. And again, members of the board, if you could please unmute your lines. This is a roll call vote, which I will call alphabetically, and I'd like to again apologize for saying your names incorrectly. I'm still learning and appreciate your patience. So this will be a roll call vote of the board. We will proceed alphabetically for item 3B. Mike Albert.
Yay, in favor.
Beth Doran.
In favor.
Eric Batchelor.
In favor.
Mark Beaudoin.
In favor.
Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
In favor.
David Chaffee.
I approve.
Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Commissioner George Kapatis.
I approve.
Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
I approve.
Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Yes.
Senator Jay Kahn.
I vote yes.
Thank you. Chairman Michael Kane.
Yes.
Tamer Cokiel.
Approved.
Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approved.
Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue. Eric, are you still with us? I'm not sure if you muted or... All right, I will proceed. I don't know if we lost Eric. James Prue. Tim Fink.
Yes.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
Yes.
Gary Thomas. Michael Turmel.
Yes.
Brandon Wagner. And just one more time, just seeing if Eric, I don't know, if maybe you are on mute. Eric Prue, are you still with us? Mr. Chairman, with the roll. I'm sorry?
I said I'm not seeing him on there. He might have disconnected.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Danielle. Mr. Chairman, with the roll called, we have a motion that has passed. Item 3D is approved.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, may I move on to item 3C?
Please do.
This is part of the conversation that for board members and members of the public that we were discussing earlier with the WIOA youth RFPs. After many years of successful administration, we thank our partners at the New Hampshire Department of Education. They are looking to see if the Office of Workforce Opportunity could bring WIOA Youth Services back in-house into the Office of Workforce Opportunity. We are one of the very few states in the nation that actually has that sort of arrangement. So this does bring us into parity. This is a decision that was, there's no failure of performance, there's no disagreements or anything like that. It's just a shifting of things around between the Department of Education and here at the Office of Workforce Opportunity. It just seemed like the right time to make a change, but we would also be able to streamline a few of the services and increase the dollar amount of program funds while on the back end seeing a reduction in administration funds. So we think it's a great opportunity, and we certainly thank our partners at the New Hampshire Department of Education for a number of years of successful implementation of these programs. So we certainly have a lot to build off of to continue the successes of this program. So we have a motion for the board to support the decision to move WIOA Youth Programs to OO, and along with thanking the New Hampshire Department of Education for successfully administering the programs over a number of years. And although they won't be administering the programs, they're still going to be an incredibly valued partner moving forward.
Joe, did you say there was a motion on the floor already?
We do not have a motion, but there's a draft motion written on the on item 3C.
So this is Will Arvelo. I move that we approve moving the WIOA Youth Program back to OWO.
Very good.
I'll second it. This is Charlene Lovett. I'll second it.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, Will Arvelo has made a motion. Mayor Charlene Lovett has seconded the motion. Would you like to move to discussion or to a vote?
I'd like to move to a vote, but if anyone wants to discuss it, I'm happy to do that.
Danielle, is there any hands raised, 5-star?
I don't see any hands raised.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, I'll proceed with the roll call vote, if that's okay.
It sounds like you're getting good at it, Joe. Keep going.
goodness. Well, thanks. Yep.
This is Charlene Lovett. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I keep raising my hand, and I guess it doesn't get seen, or I don't know what the technical issue is. But I just, in the background, the way it was written, I just wanted to get clarification.
It says in the second paragraph that the state of New Hampshire was unique in the fact that the corresponding state Department of Education did not administer these programs. I think it was unique in that it administered the programs correctly. Do I understand that correctly?
Mayor Lovett, I must have had an under-caffeinated moment when drafting, so I appreciate. I do apologize to you for the confusion and members of the board and public. So something that spell check and grammar check can't find. So I apologize.
No, I just wanted to make sure I understood you correctly. Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Is it okay? And Danielle, any other questions or hands raised?
Nope.
Very good. We'll continue with the roll call. Again, this is alphabetically. Mike Alberts. Mike, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah. Yay, approved. Sorry.
Thank you. Beth Doran.
Yes.
Thank you. Eric Batchelor.
Approve.
Thank you. Mark Baudouin.
Approved.
Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
Approve.
Thank you. David Chaffee.
I approve.
Thank you. Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Thank you. Commissioner George Kapatis.
I vote to approve.
Thank you. Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Approved.
Thank you. Senator Jay Kahn.
Yes.
Thank you. Chairman Michael Kane.
Yes.
Thank you. Tamer Cohill.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approved.
Thank you. Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue. James Prue. Tim Sink.
Yes.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
Yes.
Thank you. Gary Thomas. Michael Trammell.
Yes.
Thank you. Brandon Wagner. Mr. Chairman, with the roll call completed, the motion passes.
Great.
Shall we proceed with 3D?
Yes, please.
Very good. Thank you. We have agenda item 3D. That's the one-stop certification. We have...
Bonnie, we have Bonnie. Violation. The final brief.
Hello? I'm sorry, I was thought somebody had a question. We have the background provided along with staff recommendation. The motion, the requested action is a motion to approve the New Hampshire Works One-Stop Certification Review as submitted by staff from the Office of Workforce Opportunity. Our two reviewers are available, Bonnie St. Jean and Lisa Gerard, from the Office of Workforce Opportunity, if there are any questions.
Bonnie has her hand raised. Go ahead.
Just that I'm here if you need me.
This is Will Arvello. Move to approve New Hampshire Works One-Stop Certification Review that's submitted by the staff from the Office of Workforce Opportunity.
It's Kelly Clark. I'll second the motion.
Mr. Chairman, Will Arvello has made a motion to approve and seconded by Kelly Clark. Shall we proceed with a vote, or would you like to take questions?
Unless there are hands raised, I'd like to proceed with a vote.
Danielle, are there any hands raised?
No hands raised.
Okay. And again, I apologize for saying names incorrectly. So we will go through the roll call again, alphabetically through the board. Mike Alberts.
Yay, approved.
Thank you. Beth Doran.
Approve.
Thank you. Eric Batchelor.
Approve.
Thank you. Mark Bodwin.
Approve.
Thank you. Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
Approve.
Thank you. David Chaffee.
I approve.
Thank you. Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Thank you. Commissioner George Capatis.
I vote to approve.
Thank you. Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Approve.
Thank you. Senator Jay Kahn.
Vote yes, and I'm going to need to leave the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Michael Kane.
Approved.
Tamer Coheel.
Approved, and going to have to depart around 3 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you. Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approved.
Thank you. Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue. James Prue. Tim Fink.
Approved.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
Yes.
Thank you. Gary Thomas. Michael Turmel.
Yes.
Thank you. Brandon Wagner. With the roll call completed, Mr. Chairman, the motion passes.
Terrific.
May we move on to item 3E on the agenda?
Yes, please.
Thank you. We have provided the annual report, which you'll find in your packet, starting on page 63. So that is the annual report, beginning there as submitted. And we have provided a background summary of that annual report, in addition to staff recommendation, a requested action, and a draft motion. And we're happy to take questions from the board and from you, Mr. Chairman, with 5-star, and we'd be happy to try to address any questions you may have.
I don't have any questions.
Danielle, have any hands been raised?
Dita Chaffee, go ahead.
I was wondering, can you handle both 3C, two items at one time, the annual report, the state plan, so you don't have to go through the roll call twice? It seems they've been properly looked at and submitted.
I would defer, I don't know if Senator Kahn is still on, who could help me with some parliamentary procedure, and I'm happy to do whatever the board would like. We broke out these items to make sure that we provide enough explanation and opportunities for discussion, so I would defer to Chairman Kane on if we'd like to combine items 3E and 3F.
I think that's fine.
In order to do that, we would just have to have a motion for approvals of items 3E and 3F as submitted by staff, unless if there are changes or edits.
Dave Chaffee, I so move.
And Will Arbello seconds.
So Dave, would you mind repeating your motion for the board and so that we can have it in the record?
Yes, I move that we handle the annual report and the state plan as one item because they've been properly looked over and submitted.
Danielle, do we have any hands raised?
We do not.
Mr. Chairman, we have a motion made by Dave Chaffee, seconded by Will Arbello, to take 3E and 3F together. May I call the roll?
Please do.
Very good. We'll begin alphabetically. Again, this is a roll call vote, combining, and we'll be voting on both 3E, the annual report, and 3F, the state plan. Mike Alberts.
Yeah, approved.
Thank you. Beth Doran.
Yes.
Thank you. Eric Batchelor.
Approved.
Thank you. Mark Bodwin.
Approved.
Thank you. Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arbello.
Approved.
Thank you. David Chaffee.
I approve.
Thank you. Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Thank you. Commissioner George Capatis.
I vote to approve.
Thank you. Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Approve.
Thank you. Senator Jay Kahn. Chairman Michael Kane.
Approve.
Thank you. Tamer Coheel.
Approve.
Thank you. Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approve.
Thank you. Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue. James Prue. Tim Sink.
Yay.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
Yes.
Thank you. Gary Thomas. Michael Turmel.
Yes.
Thank you. Brandon Wagner. Mr. Chairman, with the roll call completed, items 3E and 3F are approved, and we still have a quorum.
Thank goodness.
And I guess
that was my reason. That was my reasoning. We're beginning to lose people in a hurry.
I'm 100% behind you. If you can think of other ways, keep going.
And thank you for saving my voice a little bit. Okay, we're going to move on to item 3G. 3G, so item 3G is established subcommittee membership. We have, like in other, in the previous motions, have provided a background, a little bit of background, some recommendations, and we're happy to address any questions that the board may have. The bylaws have not been worked on in quite a while, so no time like the present. So as we kind of get back to the swing of things, we are looking to try to review that to make sure that we maintain our compliance with federal guidelines and also to ensure good governance.
Joe, this is Will Arvello. I move that the SWIFT shall create a bylaw review subcommittee with no more than three board members. The chair of the board shall appoint the members, and the subcommittee will receive staff support from the Office of Workforce Opportunity.
This is Tim Sink. I second.
Just for public record, so thank you, Will. Will has made a motion, and I was not able to hear on the other end who made the second. Could you please repeat yourself?
Sorry, Tim Sink. I second.
Oh, is that you, Mr. Sink?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Very, very good. Just for the record, Mr. Chairman, Will Arvello made a motion, and Tim Sink has seconded the motion. May we approve with the roll call if there are no questions or hands raised?
Goodbye, May.
Very good. Danielle?
No hands raised.
Okay, very good. We're at the roll call again. okay, starting again from the top, Mike Alberts.
Yay, approved.
Thank you. Beth Doran.
Approved.
Thank you. Eric Batchelor.
Approved.
Thank you. Mark Bodwin.
Approved.
Thank you. Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
Approved.
Thank you. David Chaffee.
I approve.
Thank you. Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Thank you. Commissioner George Kapatis.
I vote to approve.
Thank you. Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Approve.
Thank you. Senator Jay Kahn. Chairman Michael Kane.
Approved.
Thank you. Tamer Coheel.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approved.
Thank you. Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue. James Prue. Tim Sink.
Approve.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
Yes.
Thank you. Gary Thomas. Michael Turmel.
Yes.
Thank you. Brandon Wagner. Mr. Chairman, with the roll call completed, the motion passes, and we still have a quorum.
Keep going.
Very good. And I would encourage members, if you could reach out, if you're interested in serving, if you could please reach out to me. I'll be chatting with Chairman Kane following the meeting to follow up on this item. So we would really appreciate some volunteers to keep things moving. Now, we have the last item on our agenda, and that is SWID meeting dates for 2021. We've provided background. In our bylaws, we are required to post annual meetings. We hope that with the structure of scheduling these meetings very far in advance, we can solicit meeting topics of discussion and ideas from you, the board members. But also it allows for staff to provide you timely reports and complete reports, along with ensuring that we have a quorum and fitting into your schedules. So the background we've provided, our current bylaws require 3 meetings this year, and so obviously this is fulfilling one, and we have put in the draft motion below that a meeting that meetings will be held June 8th, 2021 at 1 p.m. and October 19, 2021 at 1 o'clock p.m. And we have provided the accompanying recommendation, action, and draft motion.
Will Arvello moves to approve that SWIFT shall hold duly noticed meetings complying with RSA 91A on June 8, 2021 at 1 p.m. and October 19, 2021 at 1 p.m.
This is Charlene Levin, and I second it.
Very good. Mr. Chairman, we have a motion from Will Arvello and a second from Mayor Charlene Levin. May we proceed to a roll call after checking with Danielle if there are any hands raised? And again, that's 5-star.
Please do.
Very good. Thank you. Danielle, are there any questions or hands raised?
There are no questions.
Very good. We will now proceed to a roll call vote. I'm sorry, was that somebody? No. We will now proceed with a roll call vote alphabetically. Mike Alberts.
Yay, approve.
Thank you. Beth Doran.
Yes, approve.
Thank you. Eric Batchelor.
Approved.
Thank you. Mark Bodwin.
Approved.
Thank you. Christine Brennan. Anya Brzezinski. Will Arvello.
Approved.
Thank you. David Chaffee.
I approve.
Thank you. Kelly Clark.
I approve.
Thank you. Commissioner George Kapatis.
I vote to approve.
Thank you. Dwight Davis. Julie Demers.
Approve.
Thank you. Mayor Anthony Ginta. Representative William Hatch. John Hennessy.
Approve.
Thank you. Senator Jay Kahn. Chairman Michael Kane.
Approved.
Thank you. Tamer Coheal.
Approved.
Thank you. Mayor Charlene Lovett.
Approved.
Thank you. Robert Martell. Jonathan Melanson. Steve Norton. Eric Prue. James Prue. Kim Sink.
Approved.
Thank you. Mike Summers.
Yes.
Thank you. Gary Thomas. Michael Termel.
Yes.
Thank you. Brandon Wagner. Mr. Chairman, with the roll call completed, the motion passes for The next meeting of the SWIB will be June 8th, 2021 at 1 o'clock p.m. and October 19th, 2021 at 1 o'clock p.m.
Fantastic.
And, Mr. Chairman, that concludes our agenda for today.
Even better.
Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, no. So should I just wrap it up here, Joseph?
Unless if there are any objections, that is the meeting as proposed.
Great. This concludes duly noticed meeting of the State Workforce Innovation Board. This call has been recorded and was conducted in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. Thank you very much to all the members of the public for joining us. Duly noted meeting of the State Workforce Innovation Board, as well as all the board members. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you all.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And so, for recording purposes, this concludes the duly noted meeting of the State Workforce Innovation Board. This call has been recorded, and we will be pausing the recording at 2:58 p.m.